Now this week, we're still concerned with the monk who is the preacher of the sutra, at least to some extent, as well, of course, as being concerned with the great goddess Shri. Shri comes forward in chapter 8 of the sutra, and she makes her promise. So what does she promise? She doesn't promise simply to protect the monk who preaches the sutra. She's much more specific than that. She promises much more than that. As we saw last week, she doesn't even begin by saluting the Buddha. She plunges straight in. She comes straight out with her promises. And what does she promise? She says that she will give the monk, first, zeal. Second, garments. Third, begging bowl. Fourth, bed and seat. And fifth, medicines. And, she says, other excellent equipment. And she also makes it clear why she is going to give them. She's going to give them, she says, so that the preacher of the Dharma may be provided with every equipment, so that he may have no lack, so that he may be sound in mind, so that he may pass night and day with a happy mind, as it were, with a carefree mind, so that he may examine the words and letters of the Sutra of Golden Light, so that he may perpetuate them for the sake of all living beings, that all living beings may eventually awaken to full, perfect enlightenment. This is what she says. This is what she promises. Now, the chapter on Shri is quite a short chapter. It consists of less than 3 pages in the English translation, and Shri's promise takes up only a part of it. But before we go any further, I want to take up 2 questions. First of all, who is the great goddess Shri? And secondly, what is the significance of her promise? That is to say, her promise to give garments, begging bowl, etc. to the monk. We'll then deal with the rest of the chapter. The week before last, we saw that the goddess Saraswati is widely worshipped in India today. Worshipped, that is to say, by the modern Hindus, especially by scholars, writers, students, by anybody who has anything to do with learning, with writing, with literature. And in the same way, the goddess Shri is still worshipped in India today. In fact, she's worshipped even more widely than the goddess Saraswati. Shri is worshipped in practically every Hindu home, usually under the name of Lakshmi. And it's not very difficult to understand what she represents. The word Shri itself means simply prosperity, and Lakshmi means luck or good fortune. The prosperity, of course, which is meant here, is material prosperity. And the good fortune is good fortune in the worldly sense. That is to say, it's the good fortune that causes you to win in the pools. It's not the good fortune that causes you to find a copy of the latest FWBO newsletter lying on a seat in the bus. So the goddess represents, very much represents, material prosperity. She represents material success. In a word, she represents wealth and riches. And the modern Hindu Lakshmi is depicted more or less like the modern Hindu Saraswati. In other words, she's depicted as a beautiful young woman, dressed in a beautiful crimson sari, very often with a golden border. And she has long, flowing, glossy, black hair. Lakshmi, however, is more definitely represented as a young married woman, and she wears the red tilaka. of the married woman on her forehead, and perhaps also the red powder called kumkum in the parting of her hair, as well as various items of jewellery she's decked with, for instance, necklaces, bracelets, anklets, earrings, as well as, of course, nose ring or nose stud. The South Indian Lakshmi especially is adorned in this sort of way. Saraswati, of course, is generally dressed much more simply, as in fact befits a goddess of learning. Lakshmi is seated not on a goose, as Saraswati is, but on an enormous, usually pink or white, lotus flower. And sometimes she holds a lotus flower in her hand. Now, there are many images of Lakshmi in the temples, and often these images have more than one pair of arms. Usually, Lakshmi stands beside her consort, who is the god Vishnu, that is to say, the second member of the Hindu Trimurti. Vishnu represents, or rather embodies, the preserving aspect of divinity according to the general Hindu tradition, just as Brahma represents the creative aspect, or embodies the creative aspect, and Shiva embodies the aspect of destruction. So Vishnu, the preserver, and Lakshmi, the goddess of wealth and prosperity, are very properly regarded as being, as it were, married to each other. And sometimes they're jointly known as, or jointly referred to as, Lakshmi Narayan. Narayan being another name for the god Vishnu, the preserver. Some of you, that is to say those who've been to India, have probably visited the famous Lakshmi Narayan temple in New Delhi. It's an enormous temple. If you go to New Delhi at all, you can hardly miss it. Not surprisingly, perhaps, it was built by a modern Hindu multi-millionaire. In fact, I'm told he was a multi-millionaire, one of the very biggest millionaires that India has ever produced in modern times. A very well-known businessman, incidentally, who in the days before Indian independence was the principal financial supporter of Mahatma Gandhi and the Congress Party. It's he also, by the way, who made that famous remark, "It costs me," he said, 2,000 rupees a day to keep Bapu, that is to say Mahatma Gandhi, living in poverty. So, as one might have expected, the goddess Lakshmi is very much worshipped by members of the business community, not to say the business fraternity in India. And every Hindu shopkeeper has an image or a picture of the goddess Lakshmi, usually very brightly coloured, in his shop. As well as, of course, an image or picture of Ganesha, the elephant-headed god who removes obstacles. And he, that is to say, the orthodox Hindu businessman, worships them every day. That is to say, he lights sticks of incense and he waves lights in front of these pictures or images. Now, very often, the images and pictures, or images or pictures, of Lakshmi as well as of Ganesha are placed above the safe. You know, every Hindu shop has got a safe in the corner, or at least a big, strong iron box. And you'll find the image or the picture of Lakshmi placed immediately above the safe. And sometimes you'll find that the image or picture of Lakshmi is placed inside the safe. And I've seen myself Hindu shopkeepers opening their shop, opening the safe first thing in the morning, and then what do? They worship the image or picture of Lakshmi inside the safe. So that you could say that they were quite literally worshipping riches. They really do worship money. And also, the account books are bound in a traditional red, which is the colour of Lakshmi's sari. Now, images or pictures of Lakshmi are also found in the home, for obvious reasons. Probably Lakshmi is the most popular household deity in India. There's not much religious feeling attached to her. She's just generally believed to bring good luck, prosperity, good fortune. The ladies in the audience, incidentally, may be interested to know that a good wife is called a Lakshmi. If a woman is cheerful and industrious, if she's a good cook, a good housekeeper, a good mother, I mean, very solid qualities, eh? And if her husband's affairs prosper, then his friends will say to him, "Your wife is a real Lakshmi." Huh? Or they'll say, "The goddess of fortune has surely come to your house." In other words, your wife has brought you good luck. But I'm sorry to say there's also a darker side to the picture. If the husband's affairs go wrong, or if he dies prematurely, then his relations will say that it's the wife's fault, that she brought him bad luck. Generally speaking, however, the married woman is regarded as auspicious. The married woman is regarded as a sign of good luck, especially the young married woman with children. So that if you're leaving house in the morning, if you're leaving the house to go to work or to go to do something, if the first person that you see on leaving the house is a married woman, and in India, of course, you always know if a woman is married or not, because she wears this red mark, then if you see a married woman on leaving the house, you will have good luck during the day. But if the first person you see is a monk, then you'll have bad luck. Because the monk represents the negation of worldly prosperity, the negation of worldly success. So much so that some Hindus, especially some Orthodox Brahmins, if the first person that they meet on leaving their house in the morning is a monk of any kind, they just turn back. They don't even attempt to do anything that day. They say they know that it's not going to be successful. They've met that monk and he's completely destroyed their good luck for the whole of the day. This is, of course, I must add, the Hindu point of view. And Hinduism, of course, is an ethnic religion. It stresses group values, and it stresses worldly values, worldly prosperity. The Buddhist point of view is quite different. I won't go so far as to say that, according to the Buddhist point of view, it's unlucky if you meet a married woman in the morning, but it's certainly regarded as lucky if you meet a monk. That is to say, lucky from the spiritual point of view. Now, there are many legends concerning the goddess Lakshmi, many legends in India, and one of them concerns her birth. It's said that the gods one day decided to churn the great ocean of milk, the cosmic ocean of milk. So how did they go about it? They uprooted Mount Meru, and they used Mount Meru as their churning stick, and then they took Ananta, the cosmic serpent, as their rope. They wound the rope round the churning stick, the cosmic serpent, round Mount Meru, and then they churned. Some of the gods and goddesses pulled one end of the rope, some of them pulled the other, so they pulled back and forth, they churned and they churned. And as they churned this ocean of milk, this cosmic ocean of milk, all sorts of marvelous things came up. All sorts of marvelous things were produced, just like butter. First of all came up the cow of plenty. Then the wish-fulfilling tree, the tree that fulfills all your desires. You've only got to touch it and wish, and at once your wish is granted. And then the heavenly elephant came up, the elephant that goes as fast as the wind and has got six tusks. And then there came up the goddess Lakshmi. She too came up on this occasion. This is how she was born. But after her there came up, what do you think? A pot full of poison. So the poison was strong enough to kill all the beings in the universe. So what happened? Everybody wanted to take just the good things that had come up. Especially they wanted to take, or rather, especially the gods wanted to take, the goddess Lakshmi. but nobody wanted the poison. So in the end, Vishnu, the god Vishnu, took Lakshmi and married her. And as for the poison, it was swallowed by the god Shiva. That is, according to the Hindus. According to the Buddhists, it was the Bodhisattva Avalokiteshvara who swallowed the poison. But it did neither of them any harm. Each was able to digest the poison. But his throat turned a deep blue. And that is why they're both known as Nilakanta. That's one of the names of Shiva, one of the names of Avalokiteshvara. Nilakanta, the blue-throated one.